gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
In this morning's lesson from the Hebrew scriptures, we have one of those opportunities to deeply reflect on our humanity. The writer of the book Ecclesiastes is called Kohelet, meaning teacher or preacher. So this is obviously somebody who was quite revered in his community. And in this role as teacher is trying to share some of his reflections on life with the people he has assembled. But it seems that whoever actually wrote down the teachings of Kohelet caught him on a really, really bad day. He seems to be at a place which many of you may recognize, where he feels like he's toiled for his whole life and other people will reap the benefits, where the ongoing cycles of life don't feel nourishing and supportive to him, but somewhat oppressive. Now, this is the person we hear it referenced in the gospel lesson that says, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." You know, Kohelet seems to be in a deep place of cynicism and struggle. What is this all for? I love the extremely human reflections that he shares with us, because all of us have found ourselves in those places. Whether it's just faced with the normal pace of everyday life, for those of you who are still working or remember your working lives, that, you know, wake up every day, get dressed, go to work long hours, come home, you know, eat dinner, go to sleep, wake up the next day, go to work, over and over and over again. Or for those of you with grandchildren or children in your lives visiting you, you know, wake up, put on sunscreen, go to the beach, get sandy, come home, shower off, put on more sunscreen, back to the beach, more sand, come home. You know, for all of us, we can find ourselves in those places where the everydayness itself can leave you wondering, what is this all for? I know a number of people particularly arrive at this question when they or their loved ones are facing health challenges. When you've tried to live a healthy life, when you've tried to follow whatever the doctor has told you to do, and yet you find yourself in this place of deep pain or discomfort or worry about what will happen next, it's so easy to fall into despair, as Kohelet says, wondering, why did this happen? If both the healthy and the unhealthy die, then I'm having fish and chips four meals a day. Cheetos. You know, we can easily get into this place of what it doesn't matter. There are actually, for those who are familiar with the seven deadly sins, this is the sin of sloth, or acedia, it's referred to in the monastic communities. Acedia is that sense of the spirit that none of it is worth doing. The desert fathers and mothers, monastic abbeys, abbesses and abbots from all through the centuries write about how they support monks and nuns when they come to that place of acedia, where the hours of the prayer just seem tedious. I see Margaret laughing. Where, you know, getting up and putting one foot in front of the other just seems like a waste. You know, acedia, this sense of finding it hard to keep going and keep at it, whatever it might be, is so human. To come to that place. Think our first invitation as followers of Jesus is to love ourselves even when we are in those places of acedia, of despair, or just boredom with our daily lives. St. Teresa of Avila says that it's only on the foundation of self-knowledge and self-acceptance that you can truly begin the spiritual journey. So until we're willing to say, Lord, I'm tired of praying every day. Enough already. Or I'm tired of being the nice, forgiving person in a relationship. If we're going to have the same fights year after year after year, well then, I'm sick of being the nice one. Or, Lord, I'm tired of eating healthily. My friend was at the gym last week, is the healthiest person I know, and he had a massive heart attack. I'm tired of this. Simply owning our feelings, accepting where we are, is a huge first step on the spiritual journey. We then have a decision point. Can we open our hearts and our lives to the grace of God and say, Lord, here I am in this place of acedia, of despair. Please help me. Or do we wallow in it? There's wonderful, wonderful writings about how monks and nuns wallow in it. I think my favorite was talking about a nun who would sneak cake from the refectory and hoard cake in her room and skip prayer time to eat cake. That's my kind of nun. So we can choose to wallow in it or to open our lives and say, Lord, I desperately need your grace and your help. In addition to opening our lives, the abbots and the abbesses across history have written extensively that the cure for acedia, as hard as it might be, is faithfulness to whatever it is that God has called you to do. So if in your life right now you are called to be working an intense job in the world and you're feeling a sense of despair and wondering where it's all leading, one of the cures to acedia is not giving in to the despair, but keeping up with faithfulness, whatever it is that you're called to do. If you're called to be a caregiver to someone who is ill, and you're finding that particularly hard, one of the cures for the despair is to continue acting out of love in that caring role. Now, you might also need to ask for help. You might be getting burned out, but that's different from acedia. Physical burnout and exhaustion because you're doing too much is very different from this spiritual state where you've just gotten yourself in this morass of, what's this all for? Very different. Working with a spiritual director or a therapist can help you discern, where are you on this path? So opening your hearts to God and asking for God's help, continuing on with your life as much as you might want to just lie on the couch and eat cake and binge watch Blacklist on Netflix, not that I've done that, but as much as you might want to do those things, keeping on with whatever it is that God has called you to do can help you move through that time of despair and wondering. But finally, C.S. Lewis uses the beautiful phrase in the autobiography of his early life of being surprised by joy. One of the greatest cures for acedia is keeping some kind of a gratitude journal or a joy journal where on a daily basis you try to write down one thing that caught you off guard. Was it the sound of a child's laughter that came floating to you across the beach? Or the sight of piping plovers running over the sand? or the amazing sunrises and sunsets that we get to see on Cape Cod, or a sweet card that a friend wrote to you. How does God surprise you by joy? If we can keep our hearts open and our awareness tuned to those surprises, those pure gifts of grace, and remember on a daily basis to give thanks for them, then we can begin to crack through that acedia, that sense of what is it all for? Because instead of choosing to eat, drink, and be merry, because, you know, really what else is the point, in a despairing, hedonistic kind of way, we can choose to eat, drink, and be merry, because this is an extraordinary life. We are so blessed to share this time on earth. And we'll go through times where things are unclear and uncertain. But clinging to those points of joy, those points of grace, and trusting that God will accompany you even when your spirits are so heavy with despair, will always help you come through to the other side, where you can taste the eternal joys, the things that we cannot store up here on earth, the things that are not subject to the whims of this life, but as Jesus promises us, the peace that passes all understanding.